I walked down Frankfort Avenue last evening to return a movie to Honey Brothers. Businesses were closed. Almost no one was on the street. No pedestrians, the occasional car. The usual buzz and bustle were strangely absent. It was a holiday. Eerie effect was enhanced because I had just watched Still Life, a Chinese film about the disruption of people's lives caused by Mao Zedong's damming project, or dam project, on the Yangtze River. Though visually gorgeous, the film was bleak and endless. Much of the footage was without dialogue, rather revealing visually the raw desolation in the river city as reflected in faces and posture and other body language of the main characters. Each of these characters, independent of the other, had returned to the site of the damming to find that homes in the valley were now underwater and the former residents had fled. Each was searching for a long-lost loved one. Interestingly, and how like life, each found the loved one. In each case, the finding did not by itself bring happiness. I have a long-standing relationship with loneliness, in which I, for the most part, have gone to great lengths to avoid it. Loneliness stalks, I run. Loneliness lurks, I reach for distraction. Loneliness whispers, I whistle a happy tune. At least until relatively recently, when the taking seriously of the Vipassana practice has begun to significantly erode this pattern. I had a recent conversation with Donald Rothberg about the loneliness I was experiencing, or rather, not experiencing. I described to him my most frequent reaction to loneliness: to go leafing through my personal phone directory, frantically searching for someone to call who might offer the companionship that I believed would keep the feelings at bay. Escape at all costs. This, for many years, had been my goal. With Donald's encouragement, I began to look at the assumptions underlying this reaction. A simple restatement could be, whatever you do, don't feel this. Perhaps it goes without saying to a Sangha that this has caused me much needless anxiety and suffering in the past. How about you? Are you familiar with the various forms in which loneliness is masked? The constant need for entertainment. What are we going to do tonight? The constant need for change. Let's buy another house. Find another partner. The reaching for an addictive substance. Or doing things that you know don't feed you. Being with people with whom there is little resonance rather than being with yourself. Sometimes loneliness is masked by another feeling which, when unexperienced and unexamined, seems to stand on its own merits. It can arise disguised as boredom or anxiety. In his book, The Wise Heart, Jack Kornfield describes such an experience. He's speaking of his early years at Achan Cha's ashram in Thailand. says, since my vows included celibacy, I had to wrestle with much stronger desires, especially powerful sexual fantasies. I was a young man, and I tried to notice these natural desires mindfully. But they kept returning with great energy. Because they were so strong, my teacher had me pay close attention to the states that came with the fantasy. He especially wanted me to notice how they arose. To my surprise, I discovered that preceding most of these fantasies were feelings of loneliness. I have always had difficulty with loneliness. I am a twin, and I suspect that I didn't even want to be alone in the womb. Accepting the loneliness was hard, but my teacher insisted I stay with it. I explored the loneliness, I found insecurity and a needy kind of emptiness. I remembered these feelings from my early childhood. Much of my sexual desire was an unconscious attempt to fill the emptiness and loneliness. I held these feelings with compassion. The loneliness began to subside. Gradually, I became able to see the fantasies come and go with more mindfulness. And in place of only longing, I started to rest in mindfulness, to belong to myself and to the world. Trungpa Rinpoche, in his usual mode of turning something on its head, challenges us to look deeply at our demons. He describes such suffering as a rich resource, admonishing us to treat it as a vehicle for awakening. This is from The Myth of Freedom. Acknowledge that you are able to be fundamentally alone. You are willing to have an operation without the use of anesthetics, constantly unfolding, unmasking, opening, on and on and on. You are willing to be a lonely person, a desolate person, are willing to give up the company of your shadow, your 24-hour-a-day commentator who follows you constantly, the watcher. Great sages like Milarepa relate to the desolation as their bride. They marry themselves to desolation, to the fundamental psychological aloneness. They do not need physical or psychological entertainment. Aloneness becomes their companion, their spiritual consort, part of their being. Wherever they go, they are alone. Whatever they do, they are alone. Whether they relate socially with friends or meditate alone or perform ceremonies together or meditate together, aloneness is there all the time. That aloneness is freedom. Fundamental freedom. So, what is the key here? Mind tempts us to look from a frame of me. How I've been treated, wronged, cheated, abandoned. How it should have been instead. But from the frame of our practice, when we are willing to sit in the loneliness without a me, it becomes just one more moment, essentially empty, and ultimately opening our eyes to the clarity of our oneness with all that lives. The key to working with the challenge of loneliness is to give up all hope of escape, to turn as you might turn in a dream, and look into the face of this visitor, resting in the refuge of your own heart, becomes apparent on exploration is that right in the middle of our pain is a golden opportunity to see who we are and who we are not. Loneliness is not a mistake. Loneliness is not personal. It's not about you. Taking it personally requires a you, a me, to be lonely. Loneliness is simply one share in the pain of the universe. We are called upon to meet this share with joy instead of self-pity. I'll close with Hafiz. Don't surrender your loneliness so quickly. Let it cut more deep. Let it ferment and season you as few human or even divine ingredients can. Something missing in my heart tonight has made my eyes so soft, my voice so tender, my need of God absolutely clear.